practice righteousness, not to be seen. Okay, practice righteousness, not to be seen. And the Bible text is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. Now I shall invite Jason to read for us.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
May the congregation please turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
Right, I'm so happy to invite Pastor to give us God's word this morning. He has entitled message, Practice Righteousness Not to be Seen. Pastor.
It's a great privilege to be able to serve God. Why do I say it is a great privilege? Because when you serve God, God will not only reward you, God will reward you greatly. And in this passage that we are going to study afterwards, God will reward you with a great reward. What reward is that? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. As a pastor, it gives me great pleasure when I see you're blessed. When I see y'all doing well, it gives me great pleasure. Why is it a great privilege to serve God? This passage is important because when you understand the principle and you serve according to this principle, it means also that the things you do for the Lord, whether is it big or small, whether it is conspicuous, people can see, or whether nobody knows that you are serving the Lord, you are inconspicuous. You are serving so-called in the background. But if you serve God with this attitude that is enunciated, that's explained in Matthew chapter 6, 1 to 18, you'll be greatly blessed. You receive the great reward of God, the kingdom of God. So today I want to teach you how to serve the Lord so that when the Lord comes to reward us, to judge us, you will be rewarded greatly. And this reward is not only something in the future. We have already studied the first part of chapter 5 early on. This reward is not only something future, it is also something that will take place now. So there's great reward in serving the Lord. How to serve the Lord? Please serve the Lord correctly. We will look at the text. First, we look at the principle. It says here in verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Because it is a principle, let me read that again. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. It talks here about be careful not to practice your righteousness. Why is this righteousness? What is this righteousness? This righteousness is correctly translated is the righteousness that you are familiar with. In Greek is dikaiosune, but never mind about what dikaiosune is. Dikaiosune in modern Greek pronunciation. This righteousness is righteousness comes by faith, justified by faith, the righteousness of God. It's the same Greek word, a very common word in the New Testament. So what do you mean by righteousness? Why is this righteousness so important? We have already studied the earlier verses of chapter 5. Let us recap. In Matthew chapter 7, in this passage, in this paragraph, verses 17 to 20, in verse 20 it says here, for I tell you that unless your righteousness, right? He talks about righteousness, surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So earlier on, Jesus has already told them that Your righteousness must be like that. Then, if not, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus taught them about that this righteousness is very important. Your righteousness must be this way, that way, must ensure that it's like that and like that. And so now Jesus, having told them that you must pursue righteousness, you must have a certain amount, certain type of righteousness, he now explains in verse 1 how to put this righteousness into action, how to do this righteousness. So verse 1 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness. And this righteousness is also the details are actually given later on. So this righteousness, what is this righteousness? This righteousness is actually explained later on. We are looking at chapter verse 1, right? So this righteousness has three, Jesus mentioned three things. Number one, almsgiving, giving to the needy in verses 2 to 4. You see a needy, you give. You tithe to God's church. Offerings is almsgiving. And this righteousness also includes prayer, verses 5 to 15. That's the second part, second thing. And then praying for people, praying to God, drawing close to God. It also includes fasting. And fasting and prayer often come together. You pray while fasting so that you can pray better. So fasting, that's verses 16 to 18. So this righteousness is actually explained later on in verses 2 to 18. And there are three things, okay? And what is this almsgiving, prayer, and fasting? These three things to an ancient Jew, they are very important because they are basically basic Jewish religious duties. Put it simply. What about to us? So to us, what is this prayer, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting? It's actually very simple, something very common, very familiar with. It is about serving God. Okay, so when Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness, he's actually saying that be careful not to practice your service for God in this way or that way. So he's talking about serving God. Because almsgiving, prayer, fasting to the Jews, they are a way, they are means, ways of serving God. So he's saying that, how do you serve God? How do you serve God so that God rewards you? And God, so that God rewards you with a great reward, the kingdom of God. Dear Christians, please know how to serve God, okay? So that you are rewarded. Please do not waste your time serving God in the wrong way. Then you don't win a reward from God. So how do you serve God so that God rewards you greatly? Again, we go back to verse 20. It says that the way you serve God, the way you perform your righteousness, serving God equals righteousness in this case. Your service for God is actually righteousness. The way you serve God, the way you do your righteousness, it says here, it must surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. It must be better than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They are basically the religious leaders and teachers of Judaism, of the religion of God. Okay, so it must be better than the religious leaders. I thought religious leaders are supposed to be exemplary, right? Why does Jesus say you must be better than them? Because during those times, these Pharisees and the teachers of the law, when they practice righteousness, when they do righteousness, when they serve God, they wayang-wayang. You know, wayang-wayang. Just put on a show. Actually, they are not serving God. So Jesus was criticizing them. But wayang-wayang is okay. I mean, not okay. It's okay for them. But the problem is that these people wayang to the extent that their hypocrisy pollutes the entire nation, the entire people of God. It is affecting the lives of people, the children of God, so that the children of God actually imitate the way they serve God. Wayang, wayang also. So just what Jesus was, had to rebuke the nation, had to rebuke the people of God, has to rebuke us as an application. I thank God for this church. But in every church, and sometimes pastor also, in moments of weakness, instead of being a good example, sometimes we become bad examples. May the Lord guide our hearts, including Pastor Andrew Tan. Sometimes I'm also a bad example. But what I'm trying to say is that Jesus writes this passage basically to warn the people that, hey, look, there are bad examples. Please, don't go and follow these bad examples. Don't be stumbled by them. So Jesus had to correct them and teach them how to serve up properly so that they win a reward. So it must be better that it cannot be the way the world thinks about serving God. It cannot be the sinful ways of serving God. It cannot be wayang wayang. So how do we serve God? Let's look at verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. So in Greek, it's very emphatic. What is the problem with these hypocritical teachers? They serve God for the purpose of being seen by people, of winning the praises of people. And in Greek, it's very emphatic. In English, it's clear, but in Greek, it's even clearer. In Greek, this to be seen is actually in a certain form that denotes that the purpose of doing this is this. This is a purpose clause. No? Means, do not practice. So Chinese has it, Chinese emphasizes it. In the Chinese translation is, they do righteousness purposely, to be noticed by people. And that's the meaning of the Greek purpose here. It's very emphatic. In other words, the problem with these teachers is that they serve God for one express purpose, very clear purpose, and they go all out to make sure they hit that purpose, is to seek self-glorification, to be praised by people. No, of course, when we serve God, people praise us. It's natural, nothing wrong with that. People encourage us. It's okay. But the problem is that when they serve God, it is for the ultimate purpose of glorifying self and satisfying self. Now, when we serve God, we feel very satisfied. That is natural, so nothing wrong with that. But, dear Christians, I want to alert you. Be very careful. When you serve God, don't do it just to feel good. No? Ayah, don't do that. But sometimes we human beings are very deceptive, very cunning. No? We bluff ourselves, hey, actually, I do it for God. But actually, you're doing it for yourself. The intention is not right. No? The moment you do it for your own self, to feel good, to actualization, to get satisfaction, to feel more meaningful in life, to glorify yourself, abase, no? You're doing what Jesus tells you not to do. So be very careful. Check your feelings. Check your intention. Be very careful about your motive in your heart. So even when I preach, when I teach, when I serve, I often ask myself, why am I doing this? I want to make sure my intentions are right. So check yourself. Because if you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What's so great about reward? No reward. Heaven cannot buy me bread and butter, cannot buy me rice to eat. Now, the reward is a very good reward. Now, if you look at what Jesus explained early on in chapter 5, verses 7 to 20, the passage we looked at, it says this reward is a fantastic reward. It is the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven doesn't mean all that the emperor has belongs to you. No? You inherit the emperor's stuff. No? It's not like that only. No? You become the emperor also. It's not only you inherit the good things of the king. You become a king. That's the meaning of inherit a kingdom. You know what, right? Inherit a kingdom. You become a king. This is how great the reward is, no? So whether you serve God in big ways or small ways, when you do it with the right attitude, you inherit the kingdom of heaven. You'll be called great in heaven, Jesus says. Let's talk about the first thing that Jesus addressed, giving to the needy. Verse 2. So Jesus now explains this principle using three examples. The first example is about giving, offering, tithing, giving to the needy. Verse 2. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Who are the needy? Just to digress a little bit. The needy are not the people who need money to invest, to buy luxurious goods. These are not the needy. I don't lend money to people to invest. Well, unless is a special person. Or buy luxurious goods. Okay, these are not needy. Who are the needy? The needy refer to people who have no more money. As a result, they don't have money to buy rice, buy medicine. Okay, yeah, to the bones. So these are the needy. Now, to the needy, because they lack basic needs, we have to give. We have to be generous and give. We have to give. This is Jesus' command, very clear. There's a needy, give. Be generous, give. This is a biblical principle. It's not a principle, no? I didn't give a principle, no? God gives a principle. Give to needy. Very clear. And by the way, I know Christians have a soft heart, we often give, but I'm not talking about how to give to needy, but just to digress a little bit. Before you give to needy, remember also ask him to seek the MP's help. So that you don't be overburdened. Okay, my purpose today is not to talk about how to seek government, how to need needy. Let me come back to the main subject. Giving to the needy. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets. It is a metaphor, means it's exaggerated language. You can imagine a person giving a... But some people say it happens in some places in the ancient times. But whether it happens or not, it's not common. So the meaning is clear. When they give, they try to attract attention, to make people notice. And why do they want people to notice? Because they want to be honored by people. They want to be praised by people. So they give for the purpose of winning human praise. And for this kind of people, what did Jesus say? See, this kind of people are giving to win human praise. This kind of people, they have received their reward in full already. You know what that means? They have received their reward in full. You know what that means? Now, let me explain what that means. Now, the word reward in the ancient times, mistos, but never what mistos is. But this particular Greek word, actually reward means what? No, you get paid for a piece of work that is done. For example, your contractor renovates your house, right? So he does the job, you must pay him money, right? Or you work a month, after a month, your boss will also give you salary, right? So it's basically salary, payment. So they have received their payment, their salary already in full. Why? Hey, when did they receive their salary payment? Because the payment to them, the most important payment is being honored by human beings, right? So when they do give to needy, and then people praise them, they've gotten what they want to be paid for. They've gotten the payment that they like, to be honored by people. So because, do you pay a person two times? Does your boss, your boss pays you one time? 1 month, one pay, like one paycheck, right? Got 1 month, 2 months of paycheck, don't have, right? 1 month, 1 month of paycheck. 2 months, 2 months paycheck. 3 months, 3 months paycheck. So what do you mean by they have received their reward in full? Means they have already been paid for the work done. So no need to pay them anymore. God will not pay them anymore. Because they have been paid. God will not pay them anymore. In other words, they get no reward from God. So it is a very dangerous situation. When you serve God with a wrong motive, you actually rob yourself of rewards. Don't do that. It's very foolish. You win human praise a little bit. Human praise actually not worth 2 cents. Oh, yeah, very good, very good. I say, so what, man? At the end of the day, I still have to start on with life. Whether they say I'm good or no good, actually it makes no difference to my life. My life still is just, if I'm suffering, I'm still suffering. If I'm well, I'm well. So, you rob yourself of God's reward when you seek human praise. It's so foolish. After you invest so much time and energy to serve the Lord, and because you seek people's honor, you wash away all your rewards. Verse 3, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Wow, Jesus is a fantastic preacher. Brings home the point, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Jesus is a fantastic preacher. It's excellent, no? He's so clever, no, Jesus. So clever, no? So, it's a metaphor. What do you mean by don't let your left hand know your right hand? It means when you give, when you help people, It means so that our giving may be in secret. Make sure it's done secretly. Why? Because when you do it secretly, it means that you are really doing for God. Right? Because only God can see. Then your father who sees what is done in secret means you so that your giving may be, so you keep the good deed secret. Then when you keep the good deed secret, but keeping the good deed secret, don't be mistaken, doesn't mean that, today I offered to God, someone at the back saw me giving. Oh, my reward is finished, is it? Doesn't mean that, It doesn't mean that. That's not the meaning. Because Jesus also says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. That human beings may see, other human beings may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So it does not mean that don't let human beings see. In fact, I often tell parents, I say, parents, when you pray or read the Bible, let your children see. Why? It's to set an example. It's not for yourself. It's not to show off that I'm very spiritual. That's why I read my Bible and pray for my children to see. No. It's to set an example. It's for God's sake. So the point is not see or don't see. The point is when you do it, who are you doing it for? Who are you serving? Serving yourself, serving God. So the emphasis is, what do you mean by give secretly? Keep it secret so as to ensure that it is done to please God. Because when you do it secretly, only God can see. So it's very clear that it must be for God. Because only God can see secret things. Can't be for human beings. So when God sees, this one obviously is for me. So he rewards you. So you must ensure that you keep the good deed secret. Then your father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And what is that reward? Oh, the reward is very good. The reward, the deed may be small or big, but when the deed is done for God, the reward in the context, in the earlier passage which Jesus has explained in the introductory verses, in chapter 5, verses 17 to 20, this reward refers to the kingdom of God. And as I said, kingdom of God does not mean simply that you inherit the emperor stuff. You become the emperor. That's the meaning of inherit a kingdom. And you become great in the kingdom of heaven. I want to pause here a little bit about giving. Now, dear Christians, and I'm talking to Christians, non-Christians, this is not for you. Christians must give. The Bible commands us that Christians must tithe. You know what's tithe? Means we every month we set aside our 10% of our pocket money, our salary, we give it to God. There's one non-Christian friend, a gentleman who said that. Church is very good. Christians very good. Only one thing no good. Always ask people to give money. And I say, Yuan Wang. The person talks as if all the money goes into the pastor's pocket, no? Or goes into the... So I ask, when you come to church, there's aircon. How come there's aircon? Because the government is very kind. Free aircon. What is the church? Give us free, is it? Must pay electricity bills. Then this place, two big places, got two units. How come? The government donate to us. No, we have to buy with the money, ma. Then you go for church camp, subsidies 20%, right? It's a lot of money, you spend several tens of thousands subsidizing the church, Then you have buffet lunch, right? Where did your money come from? Then you come to church, right? All the chairs properly arranged. Who arranged it, angels arrange it. No, right? We pay the cleaner to arrange the chairs and so on, to clean the place. Come on. This place, like any other building, requires maintenance. Everybody must chip in to help out. That's why the Bible wisely instructs us, 10%. He didn't say 11%, he didn't say 2%. He said 10%. You have an obligation to God. And just for information, now I want to emphasize, if you realize or notice, whenever we collect offerings, we always, oftentimes we say this, if you are not a Christian or guest or visitors, you're not obliged to give. You know why? There's a spiritual importance to it. Because we do not, in fact, when non-Christians want to give to the church, there are people who want to give to me, I'm very hesitant about taking the money. Because I'm going to tell them that this is not tian you, no? You know, 天牛, you go to the temple, then you give money to the temple, and the God bless you. It's not 天牛, you know, it's we give, the reason why Christians give is because Jesus died for me, gave me eternal life, gave me heaven. I must give back to God. And you must give to God what? Imagine you courtship, you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, girlfriend. Girlfriend, courtship 10 years, don't courtship 10 years too long. 10 years, a lot of things happen, there's temptation that you've sinned against God. If I encourage her, 5 years at the most, I should get married. Okay, 10 years. And then the boyfriend never bought a gift for the girlfriend. And then the girlfriend asks, hey, you love me not? Love, of course. You know, I can't talk. Hey, but you never buy present. Yeah, those are material things. Why are you so particular about them? It's in the heart, ma. It's in the heart. Why talk about material things? You buy that? I think we break up. Right? You also understand what? Then your parents' day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, then you bring them up. You never brought them up for meals. Then you, what? No. Mom, I love you in your heart. Can really, right? No, right? If you truly love your mother, love your father, you must truly must buy a present for them, right? It's not a present, right? It's a thought through the present counts, right? There must be evidence, So, you say you love God. Jesus died for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for giving eternal life. And then you never give to God. You say, cannot be, not real. That one is wayang. Right? Now, Jesus, the Bible clearly instructs us, 10% you must set aside for God. It belongs to God. If you don't set aside this principle just for information, to be strict, you're actually robbing God. No? That's what Malachi says. No? You're actually stealing God's money. No? Oh, ni otata na. You steal God's money, are you? This belongs to God, you steal God's money. Hey, wow, pastor is asking for money. Pastor is not asking for money. Whenever you all give church information, I don't dare to look, bring up my head to see, Just in case you think I'm checking on you, I'm not checking on you, You give away, you ask Chen Ming, I refuse to look at who banks in through the QR code. Actually, I'm very curious, how much I will give up. I refuse to look at the bank account because I do not want to be colored by this money. I refuse to look at it. So I do not know who gives, who doesn't give. Because it's your relationship with God. But if you love the Lord, you cannot say you don't give. It's commanded by the Bible. It's not commanded by me. Come on. I didn't command it. No, the Bible commands it. Tithing is an instruction from God. I didn't command it, no? God instructs it in His Word. You don't obey, you don't tithe, you disobey God. It's not my problem, no? It's your problem with God. Okay. That was a digression. So you must give, but you give, remember, you give to please God. You give not to satisfy the pastor, not to satisfy the leaders, not to, for what reasons you give, because you love the Lord. Two, he talks about prayer. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners for the purpose to be seen by others. So when they love to take the spotlight, the limelight. So in the synagogues, just like in synagogues, it's something like here, it's a worship place of worship. In the synagogues, most people don't have the privilege of praying for everybody, So they love the privilege of praying for everybody. And Jesus also says that they also love to go to street corners. Those street corners are the main corners of main roads where many people will pass by there. So they love to pray in crowds so that everybody can see them, okay? So they pray, why? Because they want to be seen by others. For people who pray, not because they want to pray to God, but because they pray to say, hey, well, you're very spiritual, very good Christian, Okay. Because when they do that, Jesus pronounces this. He says, truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. It was the meaning of, they have received their reward in full. It is as I said. Did I say just now? Yeah. They have received their reward in full. As I've told you, right? The reward, the word reward, mistos, means what, no? It's payment for work done. So is this reward has the idea that you do a certain work, you are paid. So now they pray, right? Spiritual thing, right? So they must get paid. So Jesus says they have already been paid. When? Because they love to be seen by other people. That's, they have already gotten their payment. So no one pays a job two times. You pay him one time. So since you've been paid in full, therefore, God will not pay you. No more reward from God. So you rob yourself of reward. That's why it's so important to check yourself when you serve the Lord. Our hearts are very deceptive. Our hearts are very cunning, very sly. Check to make sure that you do it for God. And if you do it for God, if you really do it for God, although when, even when the serving is difficult, you will not complain. Of course, we sometimes hum, chum, chum, a little bit. Wow, the children are real naughty, man. Wow, ask them to sing on the old. Yeah, yeah, it can be discouraging. No, I'm not talking, I'm not saying that those kind of frustration. We feel frustrated. But when I'm saying that we won't complain, it means we will still continue to serve the Lord. Do you remember at the beginning of the year when I told you all that when you come and dedicate yourself to serve the Lord, remember what I said? You must serve the Lord from the first day to the last day of the year. You cannot say, I serve the Lord, then I'm not happy because of this or that, therefore I just quit halfway. You cannot do that. Because when you promise to serve the Lord, you serve from the first day to the last day. You fulfill your tenure. If not, it's unfaithfulness. So if you really, you are doing for God now, you say, God, it's very tough, but because I love you, I'll press on. God, no one notices me, no? But it's okay. I'm doing for the Lord. I'm very happy. Let me tell you, when you do it for the Lord, even when people don't notice you, you're very happy, you know? The joy, there's joy in your heart. Say, no one noticed me, better still. Only God noticed me. When no one notices me, better still. Only God notices me. My reward, pao chia man. So make sure you do it for God, not to be seen by others. So how should you pray? Verse 6 says, when you pray, this is what you must do. When you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So when you pray, what must you do? Notice Jesus slows down the tempo and goes into details about what you must do, right? He says, first, go into your room. First action. Second action, close the door. You can almost see the person doing the details. Go into the room. Close the door. Kneel down and pray. Then pray. Why does Jesus go into the details? Go, close, pray. What is the Lord trying to tell us? He says, make effort to ensure that what you do is in secret. Make effort to ensure your good deed is done in secret, that no one sees it, only your fathers can see it. Chow chow, quay quay shi shi, quay quay shi shi. No one sees. Exaggerated. Of course it's exaggerated. I'm not saying they do that. I'm just exaggerating it. But this is the meaning of the verse. Quay quay shi shi, secretly, secretively. So as to ensure that what you do is secretive. Then your Father who is unseen, God is also secretive. When he helps you, right, he doesn't announce it to everybody, but you know it. God is also like that. When he helps us secretly. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret, because it's done in secret means what? Because it's done secretly, so only God knows. So for sure it's for God, because only God knows. Human beings don't know. So for sure can it be for human beings? Cannot be for human beings, because no human being knows. And your God will reward you. And what's the reward? Oh, the reward is great. Imagine, just because you pray for God, for God's sake, just the act of praying for God's sake, ensuring it's done for God, wins you a reward. No? And this reward it must be explained by what Jesus has just explained early on, by the earlier context. It's the kingdom of heaven. You become a king. And not only that, you become great in the kingdom of heaven, well-respected in heaven. This is what is done for people who truly serve the Lord with a heart for the Lord. Not to win people's praise. Not for self-glorification. Not for self-actualization. Sometimes we all like that. We go to work, we serve God. We do it to feel good. No, don't do that. No, try to avoid doing that. Serve the Lord because there's a need. Serve the Lord because it's what God wants you to do. Don't serve the Lord to feel good. No, when we serve the Lord, we feel good. It's okay. And that's a good thing. God also wants us to feel good. Nothing wrong with that. But if you serve the Lord just to feel, for the purpose, for the main purpose of feeling good, you rob yourself of the reward. And that means in small things, in big things, you'll be faithful because you're doing for the Lord. You'll be very happy to do it for the Lord. Why? Because in small things, in big things, you'll be faithful when you do it for God. There'll be very little complaint. And then third, fasting. Verse 16. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. So he talks about fasting. A little bit of fasting, digress a little bit. Why do you fast? Fasting, the purpose of fasting is not, as some people say, I fast so that when God sees me, very kalian, very pitiful. He say, okay, you're pitiful, poor thing. Okay. No lunch, no dinner. I hear your prayers. I help you. That's not the purpose of fasting. That's not the purpose of fasting. What's the purpose of fasting? Now, it's for a very practical purpose. The Bible is very practical. It's for a practical purpose. What's when you fast? Just, I don't know about you, but for me, I just skip lunch to fast one time only. Oh, I feel very weak. Don't ask me to skip dinner. I usually, by far, I just skip lunch. So just skip one meal is enough. Enough to feel, make you feel weak. And then when you feel weak, right? Not only do you feel weak, your heart goes something. They were no strength to do work. And then you feel very insecure. So this is what fasting does to you. You feel weak, insecure, and there isn't that peace in your heart, no, because you feel very insecure. So when you feel like that, right, naturally you'll be forced to depend on God for help. And when you are forced to depend on God, what's it mean depend on God? Depend on God means faith in God. That's the meaning of faith. Faith means trust God for help. That's the meaning of depend on God. So when you feel physically, you depend on God. Then you have more, you will pray with faith. And when you pray with faith, your prayer is a good prayer, because the key ingredient to answered prayers in the Bible is taught clearly, is faith. That's the reason you fast. So I encourage you, if you can fast, just fast one meal. Two meals, be careful, make sure they don't have gastritis or what. Huh? So maybe you can... Yeah, you can just arrange. Skip one meal is also good. But if I'm used to skipping lunch, then you have to skip dinner. Because no effect. Okay, this, I'm not talking about fasting today. Let me return to the main subject. Now, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show to others that they are fasting. This word, disfigure and show, is a... There's a play of words there. In Greek, it's very interesting. This disfigure, if I translate it using an English word, is show, is not show, is negated. No, it's the particular, is the word show, and then they put alpha in between. No, an A. In English also, you put an A, it becomes, it's negated. Immoral. Okay. So so it's actually show, and then they put a letter in front to say that it's not show. So this figure means what? Not show versus show. No, the same Greek word. This figure and show are the same Greek words. Just that the first word has the negate, is negated with the first letter R, alpha to negate it. So it's what? That's a, you compare. You see, they purposely not show their faces in order to show very clearly that they are fasting. So they purposely not show so as to show. And what's the point? They take effort to show off. They purposely not show so as to show. And the contrast there is to emphasize this point. They are determined to show off, to tell people, look, I'm fasting, I'm very spiritual, I'm a good Christian. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And as I said just now, reward is a payment for work. And because they have already received the payment, because now people know that they are fasting, right? So they have already received the payment, and no job is paid twice. So therefore, since they have received their payment, God will not reward them. They lose their reward. Oh, so foolish. For the sake of that useless human praise. No, praises are good, just in frame. Do praise each other, encourage each other, because it encourages, life is very tough. If you can say a few more kind words, encourage you, please do. I'm very encouraged at you. Hey, you're doing well. Hey, you look good. You're doing good. Hey, you're zealous for God. Good. Do praise each other. Encourage one another. Encourage one another with kind words. But do not bet your life on such praises. Don't go and yearn for them. Don't go and desire them. They are useless, man. Not worth 2 cents. In eternity, it's not worth 2 cents. Because whether people praise or don't praise you, right, what is important is whether God praises you or not. God decides eternity, you know, not they, you know. They may say 1,000 times you are very good, lah. It's not going to win you anything in heaven, no? Zero value in heaven. Zero eternal value. So, when you fast, put on your head, means care for your body, look normal, so that you'll not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. So that it becomes very clear that you do it for God. Because people don't know. So if people don't know, only God knows. God knows means you do it for God. So it's clear, not clear to people, but clear to your Father. So it's clearly for God. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret, that, hey, you keep the deed secret and only God can see, then God will reward you. The kingdom of heaven, and you'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. May we serve the Lord with a sincere heart. Do it for the Lord. Serving God is a privilege. There's great reward. And the reward is fantastic. It's the kingdom of heaven. You reign in eternity as kings. But how must you serve God? Make sure you do it to please God, not yourself. Make sure you do it to satisfy God, not even to satisfy yourself. Life, meaningless in life, cannot be satisfied by external things. Meaningless in life, the feeling of meaningless in life can only be satisfied by God. You must have a relationship with God. Only God can satisfy you. Then you don't feel meaningless in life. But don't use serving God to fill up the void in your heart. Don't. And if you are truly pleasing God, you'll be faithful in small and big things. Difficult or not difficult. A lot of people or no people. People notice or don't notice. You do it with a lot of joy. Because I'm doing it for my Father. I'm very happy. No one knows. Who cares? My Father sees. And that's what that matters. People don't see better still. Then that means people don't see this, only my Father sees. Then God will reward you. And there are areas of service. Jesus lists down 3 areas of service. How can you serve God? Give to God. Giving to God, as I said, is not my command. It's not church's command. Don't be mistaken. It's commanded by God himself. A refusal to offer to tithe. Sorry, I'm saying with a bit of gravity. But this is, I seldom preach on tithing. Because 讲钱伤感情, you talk about money, you ruin relationship. So I try to avoid this topic. But it's a topic that I must address. It's commanded by the Bible. You must give. Okay? But give it faithfully, because God loves a cheerful giver. You are not willing to give, don't give. Better not. Because you give also becomes zero value. Because only cheerful giving has value. Giving that's given very forcefully, as if kind of force, it becomes zero value also in God's eyes. So also useless. So don't give. Better not give. So you are not willing, you cannot give cheerfully, don't give. Because yes, it's no value in God's eyes. Okay? So tithings. When you see needy people, you must give. Cannot shut away your sympathy, you cannot. But give wisely, Give wisely means if you can ask, get government's help. Also fast. I'll urge you, if you can, fast, skip lunch, just skip one meal. Then during that time, spend time praying. And don't skip one meal and then you go outside and then go and play sports again, listen to music, going for what concert, Skip lunch means you spend time praying. These are areas of service. In fact, how can you serve God? When you all are coming faithfully for service, is already serving God. Although I don't do anything in church. Let me tell you, your faithfulness is in attending worship service alone. Just this act alone is service to God. It's one of the most important service to God. That's why it's called worship service. Just coming to warm the seat, Warm seat warmers in church are good. Thank God for people who warm the seats. Was just a way of serving God. See, I don't do anything like you're actually serving God when you come for worship service faithfully. I must end, but I want to speak to our non-Christian friends. Dear non-Christian friend, you notice that in this message we have been emphasizing that God wants us to love Him wholeheartedly, sincerely, right? Wholeheartedly and sincerely. Why? Because not only does God demand that from us, God demands that from human beings, because God's nature is also like that. God demands us to love Him, serve Him sincerely, because God Himself is also like that. When He loves us wholeheartedly and sincerely. And how do we know that He loves us very much? The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God is also passionate, just as God wants us to be passionate about Him, serve Him alone. God is also very passionate for us. To what extent? He loves us so much that He sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. Why must Jesus die on the cross for you? Because you are a sinner in your thought, word, and deed. You have made God very angry. Your relationship with God is broken. God cannot bless you because of sin. Dirty you are. Dirty how to get blessing. Dirty. Dirty, smelly. God cannot accept you. And that's the reason why sin must be removed. And how does God remove sin? God sent Jesus to die on the cross to take away your punishment. He was punished in your place. And when you accept Jesus, Jesus died on the cross, it is as if you have already died for your sins. It is as if you already have been punished for your sins. And then God will forgive you your sins, washes your sins inside out. And you become clean, very clean. Inside, wow, very clean, fresh air, oxygen. How come I pay extra money? Got extra oxygen. You feel very good. Because it's clean inside. That's what Jesus does for your life. Jesus changes lives. Because God loves you. Come and believe in Jesus today. Let's pray. Lord, we confess our sins before you because our human nature is so deceitful. We bluff ourselves that we are serving God, but actually we are serving ourselves. For that, we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we pray that you help us that in all things that we do, in small and big, whether people notice or not, help us, O Lord, to serve you alone, to live and to live for you alone, so that when you come, you'll reward us greatly. And even in this life, because we do things secretly, good deeds secretly, because we do good things, righteousness secretly, you will reward us with the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.